Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm Mark Lipponier. Quiz shows in this hour. Later on, it's You Bet Your Life. But right now, Break the Bank, from October 5th, 1949, on NBC.
Vitalis and Truchet bring you the biggest money-paying show on the air, Break the Bank. I broke the bank for $2,380.
I broke the bank for $2,900.
I broke the bank for $5,970. Break the Bank. This is Bud Todd. You're welcoming you to the first NBC broadcast of Break the Bank, presented by Bristol-Myers, makers of those two famous products, Vitalis, to keep your hair well-groomed, and Truchet, the beforehand lotion. Vitalis and Truchet. And now here is your master of ceremonies, that quizzical money man of the highest rank, with exactly $4,200 to start tonight's bank, Bert Hart.
Bud Collier, and ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Break the Bank. We want to take this opportunity to welcome our new friends on NBC, and we hope they'll be old friends of ours before too very long. All right, we have a bank that's worth exactly $4,200. Here are our first contestants coming up to the microphone, and may I have your name, please?
Mrs. Alton Blaine.
And you, sir?
Mr. Alton Blaine.
From where?
New Fairfield, Connecticut.
Let's welcome them to our show. Come on up here, please. Mr. and Mrs. Blaine, right into our microphone, and welcome to the first show on NBC of Break the Bank. How are you?
Just fine.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you. Sound a little southern, are you?
No.
Huh?
Very northern.
Where are you from, originally?
Danbury, Connecticut.
Danbury, Connecticut. How long are you married?
13 years.
Children?
We have three.
Oh, how wonderful. Two boys and a girl?
Three boys.
Three boys. That's wonderful. Well, now, you know, there may be some people who are not quite acquainted with how Break the Bank works. And while you're thinking over your category, which is called Outdoor Harmony, Bud Collier is going to set you right. All right, Bud?
Right you are, Bert. Our contestants are all selected from our studio audience, and they select a category from a blackboard here on the stage. And then the number one question is worth $10, then $20, $50, $100, $200, $300, $500, and then the $1,000 question, or as in tonight's case, $4,200 question, which breaks the bank. Now, the bank is always worth $1,000 or more. And every time the bank is broken, Vitalis and Truchet start the bank going again with a brand new $1,000. All right, Bert?
All right. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Blaine from New Fairfield, Connecticut, before we start, I see you have a little moral support. Who is this young man, huh? Who's this young man
That's
here?
Tony Blaine.
Hello, Tony. You want to sit over there in the chair and help you? Just say hello so we know you're here. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
Hello. All right. What's your name, son?
Greg Blaine.
Now, remember, you applaud in the right places. Go on, sit down. All right. Here we go. Now, Mrs. Blaine, we're going to talk about outdoor harmony. And you know, with the summer about gone, we're bound to recall many a balmy summer night that we spent in the outdoors. So let's imagine we're gathered around a campfire, strumming a ukulele. We're singing some of the tunes that speak of the great outdoors. For $10, here's one with an outdoor favorite. It goes,
by the light of a dee-dee-dee, we'll sit and spoon.
What's the name of that?
By the Silvery Moon.
By the light of the Silvery Moon. That's it for $10. All right, that puts you at $10. You're reaching for $20. You go, you know, you got to be on the outdoors for this one. I want Peter Van Steeden to play it, and you name it. Okay, Pete?
Take me out to the ball
game. Oh, you're sitting there, Sarah. That's it. Blaine, you're now at $20. You're reaching for $50. Those two young men over there applauding like mad. Okay, here's a tune that brought folks outdoors to see the... well, you tell them, Pete. Come on. $100, no mistake so far. $4,200 an hour. I pan on Vitalis Bank. He's wiping his brow already. All right. Come on up here close to the mic. We hear everything you have to say. In this song, the boy and girl are inside, and he wants no part of the outside because... $100. You're reaching for $200, $4,200 in the bank. Mr. Blaine, what would you do if you broke that bank tonight, huh?
Brother.
Well, that's a pretty good thing to do with it. I say that. All right. You're doing fine because you made no mistakes. $100 reaching for $200. Here's a song that has a definite outdoor flavor. Play it, Pete, and you name it, okay? Remember Bowman Roman?
Yeah, very popular. You know what it is?
Oh, I'm sorry. Riders in the Sky. That's it. All right, only one mistake. You're back to $50. You're reaching again for $100. Pete and the boys are going to play a tune that bears the same name as the title of a hit movie of some years ago. Listen and give me the title.
Flying down to Rio.
You got it, boy. Flying down to Rio. You came out of that rut. You're reaching for $200, $4,200 still in that bank. Here's an outdoor setting for romance. Pete is going to play it. You give me the title. Five more seconds to go. What do you say? Try. What does it sound like? Yes? Mr. Blaine? Oh, I'm sorry. Shades of Night is the title. Shades of Night are falling here. The lovebirds calling from the trees above. It's been a great pleasure to have you here. I, Pan and Vitalis, take great pleasure in awarding you $100. Go over to our Janus, our pain teller, and collect. Thank you. Yes, sir. Socially and in business, too, a man has to look his best. So give your scalp and hair live-action Vitalis Care. Live-action care with Vitalis and the 60-second workout wakes up your scalp. You actually feel the difference, and, brother, she'll see the difference in your hair.
Yes, be one of those well-groomed guys.
Well-groomed and Vitalis wise.
Live-action care of your scalp and your hair.
Get Vitalis.
Well, Bert, when our first contestants won $100, we had a like amount put into the bank by Vitalis and Truchet, and our bank has now grown up to the sum of $4,300. And I'd like to introduce Mr. Ernest J. Unger and his friend, Mr. Paul Hanshock. The latter of Little Ferry, New Jersey, and the other of Trenton, New Jersey. Say hello to Bert Park.
All right, let's welcome to our show. Let's go straight now. You, Paul. Right into the microphone, Paul. And you are Ernest?
Right, Bert.
Good. Now, we have a category called the Subway World Series. Let's find out who has allegiance to who. Who is your team?
Mine is for the Brooklyn Dodgers, Bert.
I see. And how about you, young man?
I'm Joe DiMaggio and the New York Yankees.
All right, now we have a little... good-natured controversy here. Let's see how you come in. Now, remember, both of you have an opportunity to answer the question. You can talk between the two of you, but the first answer counts. Okay, here we go now. Greater New York is feeling great today because all it takes is a subway ride to see the greatest show in baseball, the World Series. And, oh, yes, you have to have a ticket, too. Well, now let's look back at some World Series in which either the Yanks or the Dodgers took part in and see if you can't make yourself the price of a box seat. For $10... the Yankees won the first game today. Now, who smashed that ninth-inning home run?
Tommy Hendrick.
Oh, before he even finished, that's it. All right. Give him a little shot of the mic. Come in a little closer. That's it. Now, put your $10. You're reaching for $20. Can you tell me the last time the Yanks and the Dodgers tangled for the World Series championship?
1947.
You're right. 1947. That's good. You're at $20 now. You're reaching for $50. Incidentally, have either of you boys ever seen each other before?
No,
not
sir.
Before tonight.
Not before tonight.
Is that right? I think you're a little close there. You're taking a bite out of this. You just step up here a little bit. That's fine. Okay. Now, we're still on that subject. How many times have the Yanks and the Dodgers battled each other in a World Series, including this one being played right now? How many times have they battled in a World Series, including the game they're playing, the series they're playing right now? How many? Now, very closely, think about it. They're talking among each other. They've never seen each other before, but they're very close. They're talking back and forth, yes? How many times would you say?
Seven.
Oh, I'm sorry. Only three times. 1941, 47, and 49. The only three times they met. All right, you're back to 10. You reach and get for 20. The last time the Yanks and the Dodgers tangled in the World Series was in 1947, of course. Now, who were the managers who masterminded their teams in that series in 1947? I want the Yankee manager and the Dodger manager, yes?
No. Bucky Harris and Bert Shotton.
You got it, boy. That's it. You better let him do a little more. Come on up here, fella. You're now at $20 again. You're reaching for $50. Here we go. Here are some nicknames of players involved in this World Series, and see if you can give me their real names. Two out of three. Pee-wee.
Reese.
Jolton Joe.
DiMaggio.
Scooter.
Rizzuto.
You got it. That's it. That puts you back up to $50. You feel a little better now, don't you? You're Joe?
Paul.
Are you Paul?
You're
Ernie.
Oh, it's Joe isn't here. I'm sorry.
Let's go. Brooklyn fans still get the heebie-jeebies when they recall the World Series of 1941. It was in that series that their star catcher...
Mickey
dropped...
Owen.
Wait a minute, is there an echo in here? That's the answer. That's it. I'd like to explain to you, the idea of the show is I ask you questions, then you give the answer. You don't give the answer, then I ask the question. All right, that's fine. Boy, did he know that one. I said two words, and he had the answer. Here we go. You're now at $100, by the way. You're doing fine. You've only made one mistake, so watch it closely now. $4,300 in the bank. You have to split it, you know, if you win.
Right.
It's okay?
Yes.
He's saying it right through clenched teeth. Yes, I know it. What do you do, sir? What's your job?
I'm an elevator operator down to the Veterans Administration.
Oh, are you really? And what do you do?
I'm assistant claim agent for the Red Star Express Lines.
Assistant what major?
Claim agent.
Oh, claim agent. I thought you said claim major. I don't know what they were doing down there. All right. $100, reaching for $200. In the 1941 World Series, the Yanks beat the Dodgers 4-1. One Brooklyn pitcher was charged with two of those four defeats. Who was he? Now, wait a minute. Think about it. Hugh Casey. Hugh Casey, you got it? Let me say this to you. When you get up to $200, even an count. Believe me. All right. $200. You're reaching for $300. You're doing fine now. Your name again is?
Paul Hanchak.
And your name is?
Ernie Younger.
I want to keep that plug in there so we all know who you are. Now, the seventh and final game of the 1947 World Series was played on October 6th of that year. The Yanks and the Dodgers were tied with three victories apiece. This was the playoff game, and the Yanks won. Who was the Yankee pitcher who was credited with that all-important victory? This was in the 1947 World Series. They're talking it over. They have one mistake so far at $200, reaching for $300. Yes?
Joe Page.
You got it! Ladies and gentlemen, we are at a very crucial point in our show at $300, reaching for the gateway to the bank, which is $500. From this point on, fellas, remember, one answer and one answer only, no coaching from our audience. This may be it. In other words, if you answer the next two questions correctly, Ipana and Truche on this stage will present you with $4,300. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Here we go. Now, don't say, because it may count. Here we go. Listen very closely. The World Series started way back in 1903. Now, can you tell me in what year the Brooklyn Dodgers played their first World Series? The exact year that they played their first World Series.
It's a guess, Bert.
What do you say?
1906.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're just 10 years too early. It was 1916. They lost 4-1 in that series. You've done very well here tonight. Vitalis and Truche take great pleasure in presenting you and your newfound friend with $300. Go over to Janice, our paying teller, and collect. That's the call for the wishbowl, friends. That's right. If you're 16 years old or over and live in one of the 48 states of the United States or in the District of Columbia and want an opportunity to break the bank,
Just mail a postcard giving your name, your address, and your telephone number, addressed to Vitalis and Truchet, Box 1313, Grand Central Station, New York 17, New York. Now, each Wednesday, we'll make a phone call between 9 and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and invite the writer to appear on Break the Bank the following week.
Vitalis and Truchet will provide free round-trip transportation as available for two. You'll live in a suite at the Hotel Statler in New York from Wednesday to Friday, and you'll be given $150 spending money in addition to any amount you win on the program.
So mail your postcard giving your name, your address, and your telephone number to Vitalis and Truchet, Box 1313, Grand Central Station, New York 17, New York, tonight.
All right, now, Bert, here's our wishbowl contestant for tonight, or contestants, I should say, Mr. and Mrs. E. Myers of 68 Southwest 22nd Road, Miami, Florida.
All right, let's rock on. Come on. All right.
These are the people that we called in our wishbowl. Their card was picked out of our wishbowl, which you see here on the stage. Congratulations to you, Mr. and Mrs. Eugene Meyer. I'm very
happy
glad to see you.
Happy to be here, Bert.
Well, thank
you're
you.
Very, very happy.
Well, thank you very much. I didn't know you were going to care that much. Mr. Meyer, talk right in our microphone, sir, and tell us what do you do?
Well, I'm a hairdresser.
Oh, are you in the fine?
Miami, yes, sir.
Is any specialty of the house?
Specialty, they big them are beautiful.
Beg pardon? I mean, do you do crokinole, or what do you do?
Well, we do everything. Just
what is a crokinole?
A crokinole, you roll up the hair in a certain way.
You croak it in a certain way.
I see.
Your first visit to New York, Mr. Myers?
Oh, no, sir.
You've been here before?
Oh, yes.
May I ask how long you and Mr. Myers have been married?
27 years.
Children? Do you have children? No little crokinole?
No little crokinole.
I see. All right. Well, now, before we get down to your category, which is politics and petticoats, Bud Collier, will you escort Mrs. Meyer over to our wishbowl? This is the way we pick our wishbowl winner for next week. We have our wishbowl here on stage. Mrs. Meyer is going to dig into the wishbowl and pick out three cards. We'll call the first person. They're not home. We call the second and third. And the person who answers the phone and is called from the selection of cards here on the stage will be invited to New York, all expenses paid, to appear on Break the Bank. All right, cards number one and two have been selected. Card number three. Now come back to Mrs. Myers and let's see if you can break that bank for $4,000.
May I say hello to my friends in Miami?
Who did you want to say hello to?
I would love to say
George
hello
and B.
to George and B. Rockerman.
No, I'm sorry, you can't do that. But however...
My friends in Miami.
All right, all right, here we go. Now, Thank you very much. Thank you, Mrs. Myers. All right, here we go. Now, ever since women began campaigning, would you get right into our microphone? We want to hear everything you have to say. Since women began campaigning for equal rights, we've had petticoats, you know, in politics, and I guess the girls are here to stay. So let's look over the political scene and see how the ladies are getting along. For $10, Miss Mrs. Myers, a great lady in the United States, the United Nations. Today, and not long ago, she was our first lady. Who is she? She was our... Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt. That's right. Right in there. Now, equal rights for the fair sex. I want you to tell me which amendment to the Constitution gave the gals the right to vote. Now, listen very closely. Was it the 18th, the 19th, or the 20th?
The
19th. The 19th. That's it. All right. No coaching. All right, here we go. You're now at $20. You're reaching for $50. This gal was not only congressman, but also a famous playwright. She's the wife of the editor-in-chief of Time magazine. What's her name?
Claire Boudeloup.
You got it, Mr. Myers. Good for you. Yes. Yes, tell me, are you having fun, Mr. Myers?
Oh, look at my orchid. Oh, it's so gorgeous.
Oh, they're wonderful, Mr. Myers. Do you know? You know, I want to tell you, I think that orchid has bloomed a little bit since you've been on the show.
I'm telling you, Bert, you just got
Oh, Mrs. Myers, you shouldn't say that. Now, first time you've been on the radio?
First time.
Well, now, I want you to tell our prospective wishbowl winners who might be coming up here, or certainly will be coming up here week after week, isn't it a great thrill to be selected?
Well, I never will forget it as long as I live.
Into the microphone. She's giving it out to the side.
I never will forget these moments.
Yes.
As long as I live. And I'm really very, very grateful for that wonderful product that gave us the chance to be here.
You know, I'm grateful, too, for it. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you. That's a very lovely speech. Thank you, Mrs. Myers. Well, now,
Now that you're enjoying yourself, let's hope you win a lot of money. That'll make it complete, won't it?
Oh, that would make me very happy.
Gee, we're just delirious here tonight, you know? All right, $50, we're reaching for $100. California sent the pretty actress Helen Gahagan to Congress. In addition to her political chores, she is the wife of a famous screen actor. Name this famous movie actor to whom Helen Gahagan is married. She's from California. Who is the famous movie actor to whom Helen Gahagan is married? Very famous movie actor. No coaching, please. Oh, gee, I wish I could help you with this. It's,
here's a hint. The first name of it.
Do you know what it is? Five more seconds to go.
Just your little hint.
No, I'm sorry. It's Melvin Douglas, I was talking about. All right, you're back now to $20. Try this one. The first woman to ever hold a cabinet post was FDR's Secretary of Labor, who served from 1933 to 1945. What was her name?
Perkins.
Frances Perkins. That brings you up the line. Now, you're at $50. You're reaching for $100. No mistakes from now on. Now, watch it closely. The president has just decided to include some petticoats in the diplomatic corps. Now, what famous Washington hostess did he recently appoint as minister to Luxembourg? Very famous name in the Washington scene. Now, the minister to Luxembourg, what is her name? No coaching, please. Very famous name in the news. She gives a lot of big parties in Washington, or did, rather.
Oh.
Yes, you know, sure.
No.
It's a pearl of a name, if you could only think what it was. I'm sorry, do you know what it is? Five more seconds to go, Mr. and Ms. Myers. I'm sorry, I can't give you any more help. Do you know? No, it's Pearl Mester. But anyway, it's been a great pleasure to have you here. Our sponsors, Vitalis and Truchet, take great pleasure in awarding you $50. Go over to Janice, our pain teller, and collect. Bye, Mr. Myers. Hello, Jan.
Hi, Bud.
Say, do you lead a double life?
A double life?
Uh-huh.
Why, of course. And so does most every other woman. We're all working girls by day, dishes, washing, and so many other household chores. But at night, we're all glamour girls.
Even your hands?
Sure thing, Bud. For remember, there's always Truchet, the beforehand lotion that helps keep workaday hands smooth and lovely for playtime hours.
Yes, Truchet, the entirely new and different idea in hand care. A lotion so velvety and oil-rich, you use it beforehand to ward off roughening, drying, soap, and water damage.
So the time for fragrant Truchet protection is before you get to work, before you put your hands in those hot suds.
You also can use Truchet as you use an ordinary hand lotion, anytime your hands need a creamy, softening lotion.
So keep a bottle of Truchet on your dressing table as well as in your kitchen.
For busy hands that are lovely, too, begin today to use Truchet. Truchet, the beforehand lotion. Well, I think we'll have to interrupt proceedings here. It seems to me like I hear that wishbowl telephone call tonight. You want to take it?
Yes, you remember a few moments ago, Mrs. Myers picked three cards from our wishbowl over here. We have found out who our wishbowl winner is for tonight. Let's pick up the phone and we'll see who it is. Hello? Yes, our wishbowl winner is who? Mrs. Gladys A. Curry, 2924 Hermosa Road, Santa Barbara, California. All right, put her on, please. Hello? Hello, Miss Curry? Hello, I can't quite hear you. Talk a little closer to the phone, please. Hello? Oh, wonderful. Is it Miss or Mrs.? Oh, Mrs. Curry. Well, fine. You know what has happened, of course. You have been selected as our wishbowl winner. We wonder if you can come to New York next Wednesday, all expenses paid, to appear on our show. Can you make it? You bringing Mr. Curry with you? Well, you can certainly bring Mr. Curry, and congratulations to you for being our wishbowl winner for tonight. Let's give her a nice hand. Thank you.
Well, Bert, when our wishbowl winners who actually were here tonight won $50, Ipana and Truchet added a like amount to the bank, and it's now gone up to $4,650. And I want to introduce now Mr. David Daniel Nutt and his fiancée, Miss Grace Quaranta. Step over here and say hello to Bert
Park. All right, welcome to our show. How do you do? Very nice-looking young couple, indeed. You are from Staten, and both of you are from Staten Island.
That's
you're
right,
engaged Bert. To be married?
Yes, we
May
are.
I ask when the important day is to arrive?
No date set, yes.
No date set, I see. And how long have you known each other, Grace?
About 3 years, Bert.
Oh, wonderful. What do you do?
I'm the secretary of the Anaconda Copper Mining Company downtown here in New York.
Oh, gee, that's a long sentence. And how about you, Danny?
I'm a reporter for the Staten Island Advance, Bert.
Oh, well, that's swell. We wish you a lot of luck, and maybe if you've cracked that bank for $4,650, it may change your plans and speed up that projected project
a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it might. Okay, here we go. Now, we're going to talk, strangely enough, about Danny Boy. Since you are Danny, you've picked yourself a category about a namesake of yours, so you better be sharp and answer these questions about Dan, Daniels, and Dannys in real life and fiction. Now, just to get the idea rolling, there was a Daniel in the Bible who got involved with some wild animals in a certain place. Now, whose den did Daniel get into?
Lions.
That's it. Just to give you an idea how we start. Now, you made $10. You're reaching for 20. Here's a Danny you should know. He's a star of stage and screen, was in such movie hits as The Kid from Brooklyn and The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Danny who?
Kay.
Danny Kay. That's right. That's $20. Would like to be like this Daniel. He was a frontiersman. You know it already?
Boone.
Daniel Boone. That's right. You're now at 50. Reaching for 100. Peter Van Steen is going to play a famous melody, and I have a question about it. First, listen to the tune. All right, now, wait a minute. This, of course, is known to many as Danny Boy. Is that right? Now, give me its other famous title.
Londonderry Air.
Londonderry Air. Good for you. $100. Miss Guaranta and Mr. Nutt, you're now at $100, reaching for $200. This Daniel was a famous American statesman born in New Hampshire in 1782. He served in Congress, became noted as a great orator. You know it already?
Can't miss it. I went to Dartmouth. Webster.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, Dan. Now, you are at $200. You have made no mistake so far. Now, listen very closely to these questions from here on in. Here are some famous lines about a Danny in poetry. For they're hanging Danny Deevan. You can hear the Dead March play. The regiment's in Hollow Square. They're hanging him today. They've taken off his buttons and cut his stripes away, and they're hanging Danny Deevan in the morning. Now, who wrote those memorable lines about Danny Deevan?
Rudyard Kipling.
You've got it. Rudyard Kipling. Oh, and she just... As she was listening to it, she said, I got it. I'm good to tell you. All right. You're now at $300, reaching for the gateway to the bank, which is $500 again. I'd like to caution our studio audience, no coaching, to you, Mr. and Mrs. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Nutt and Mrs. Granto. One answer only. There is a great Danny of the baseball diamond who boasts an amazing record. In 1942, while playing the outfield for the Phillies in the National League, he went 151 games without an error, for the almost impossible average of 1,000 for the season. That isn't just good, it's perfect. Now, who was that Danny in 1942, playing the outfield for the Phillies in the National League? Danny
Lutwiler.
Who? Danny Lutwiler, you got it! You're at $500. The next question could break the bank, but our time is up. Do you want to accept your $500 now or come back next week and see if you can break the bank for $4,650? And if you say anything else, what
I'll
think...
be back.
You can be back. All right, thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Well, remember, friends, send that postcard to Vitalis and Truche, box number 1313, Grand Central Station, New York, 17, New York, with your name, your address, and your telephone number to enter the Radio Wishbowl.
Yes, and be with us next Wednesday, October 12th, for the drawing of the next Wishbowl winner. It may be you. And by the way, we'll be on just half an hour from now in many cities with a television version of Break the Bank. Consult your newspaper for your nearest station. The bank is now worth $4,650. Break the Bank is brought to you by the makers of Vitalis and Truche. To keep your hair well-groomed, remember Vitalis. And for softer, lovelier hands, remember Truche.
Join us again October 12th for the makers of Vitalis and Truche, bringing you another group of contestants who do their best to break the bank. And we'll draw another Wishbowl winner.
Here's fast pain relief, really fast pain relief, with a remarkable new product. The name is Bufferin.
Bufferin acts twice as fast as aspirin, yet will not disagree with you.
Bufferin gets into your bloodstream twice as fast as aspirin, so goes to work twice as fast to relieve your pain.
Bufferin acts twice as fast as aspirin.
You're tuned for the stars on NBC.
Break the Bank, on tuned to yesterday from the 5th of October, 1949 on NBC. It was certainly among the more popular quiz programs of its day. Close to 13 million people tuned in for that episode, hosted by Burt Parks, who also hosted the top-rated quiz program of that same year, Stop the Music, a show that was so popular it eventually forced comedian Fred Allen off the air, who was broadcasting at the same time but on a different network. And thanks for choosing to listen to this hour of quiz programs on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Now time for a broadcast of You Bet Your Life with comedian Groucho Marx. This first heard on NBC on February 10th, 1958.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is people. P-E-O-P-L-E.
Really?
You bet your life. The National Broadcasting Company presents Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz show transcribed from Hollywood. Groucho meets our first contestants in just 1 minute. And here he is, the one, the only...
Well, here I am again with a chance for each of our couples to win up to $10,000. And if any of them say the secret word, they'll win an extra $100. George, who's first?
Well, Groucho, we have Viva Smith and David Ewan waiting to talk to you. So, folks, you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word, and you each take home an extra $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Viva Smith and David Ewan. Ewan?
Ewan, that's right.
Ewan. Viva, I've heard of Viva La France and Viva Via, but where'd Viva Smith come from?
Well, Groucho, I was born in a little town called Weird City, Kansas.
Weird City?
And it's not even on the map. Oh. Weird.
Weird City, huh?
Weird, W-E-I-R.
Oh.
It was a coal mining town.
Coal mining?
Not anymore. They've got all the coal out of the ground now. I'm a coal miner's daughter, in fact.
Oh, you are? You don't look like a coal miner's daughter. At least you're not very lumpy. You're
kind of chubby.
You're more the bituminous type. And you're David Smith, huh?
No, David Ewan.
Oh, you're David Ewan?
Ewan, that's right.
Now, where are you from, Dave?
Well, I was born in Austria, just outside of Vienna, and I came here when I was four. Went to the schools in New York City.
What sort of work do you do, Dave?
I'm a musicologist.
Oh, well, that sounds real classy. What is a music? Is that a piano tuner?
Well, I've written about 35 books on music, which have been translated in about 10 languages. And they cover just about every facet of musical activity I've done.
Rock and roll?
No, not rock and roll, but I did do a book on popular music called Panorama of American Popular Music.
Don't you call
music.
Rock and roll popular music?
No, it isn't music.
Oh.
It isn't popular. It is popular, but it isn't music.
Well, let's leave rock and roll out of it for this week. Who is writing music you do like? Who's your favorite composer today?
Well, in contemporary American music, I would consider Richard Rodgers.
Well, he's great. Why do you consider him as opposed to all the others?
Well, my last book is a biography on Richard Rodgers.
Oh, I see. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Oh. How did you meet your wife, Viva?
Viva's not my wife.
Oh. Well, who is your wife? How did you meet her and how?
I don't really remember how I met her, probably introduced by my friends.
You still regard them as your friends, these people?
Yes, I do, because I probably introduced them to their wives.
Oh, well, that's one way of getting even. Now, tell us again how you met your wife, and this time, lie about it.
Well, I was going to tell you that how she fell in love with me, if you want to know. That I do remember.
Well, that I don't believe, but go on.
You see, we were just
this
friends.
Is one incredible story after another here.
Oh, this really happened. We were just friends. And one day I happened to tell her that I played poker with the Four Marx Brothers. And she was as crazy about the Four Marx Brothers as I was. So that was the day the love walked in.
Well, you couldn't have played poker with the Marx Brothers. None of us ever had any money.
But I did.
Oh, I see. Well, you sound pretty bitter. You better tell us the whole story now.
Well, here's what happened. You were appearing on the Broadway musical stage for the first time. I think it was I'll Say She Is.
Yeah, were you married then?
No, I was a youngster. 1925, I was born 1907, so I was 18.
What went on during this game?
Well, I came down to interview you for one of the magazines. And when I came in, you were in costume already, and you were the five of you, because there were five brothers then, were playing poker. What I didn't know was that the Four Marx Brothers, playing poker with the Four Marx Brothers is not an orthodox procedure. I was asking you questions, and while you made me punch drunk with your crazy answers, Chico would look into my cards, he signaled to Harpo, and then when Harpo had better cards than I had, he would raise me. And when he had worse cards, he'd tear up his cards, and Chico gave him another five cards. When the game was over, I didn't have an interview and I didn't have any money because I lost $7.
Well, that's the Marx Brothers, all right. What What'd you do? Did you call the cops?
No, I didn't. Chico gave me back the $7.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yes.
Well, then it couldn't have been the Marx Brothers. Must have been the Dolly Sisters. Well, time is running out, so let's go from the musical world to the financial one and play You Bet Your Life. Now, remember your partner, so
yes,
you can discuss anything before you make your final conclusion. You selected literature. I'm going to ask you some questions. If you miss two in a row, you're out. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. Number one, the first question is, in the 1600s, who wrote the three great comedies, The Silent Woman, The Alchemist, and Volpone?
Ben Jonson.
Ben Jonson?
Ben Jonson is right, yes.
And you're on the way with one right.
In which of Shakespeare's plays was Caliban a character? Caliban.
Yes, I know. Midsummer's Night Dream.
No, I'm sorry. It's The Tempest.
Oh, that's... No.
Well, now we have one wrong. Don't get the next one wrong or the game is over for us.
Who wrote the King Solomon's Mines and She, a book called She?
Oh, King Solomon's Mines and She. Oh, yes, I know. He's right. Rider Haggard?
Rider Haggard,
yes,
is right.
Scared me. You have one right now.
Scare me, too.
Now, who wrote Jungle Stories and Kim?
That's Kipling.
Kipling.
Kipling,
right.
Herring, that's right. No, just Kipling, yes. Now, what author created Uriah Heep?
Uriah Heep, that's Dickens.
That's
Dickens.
Right, Dickens.
You're almost there. Get the next one right, and $1,000 is yours.
He lies across the ice in what famous novel?
Uncle Tom's
Cabbage.
Born
is
a
right.
Oh, yeah, who are you?
Now, you've won $1,000. You can keep it and quit, or else you can come back later and try to double your money. You may even get a crack at $10,000. So go over there and sit down and think about it. And if we don't see you later, thanks for being on the show. And you certainly worked for that money.
In just a moment, our second couple will join Groucho to play You Bet Your Life.
Whenever you want things to be just right, be it here or there or day or night,
you make it Pabst, 'cause Pabst makes it perfect.
George, what have you got now to...
Well, Groucho, we have a couple...
To baffle me.
I think this will, too. We have a couple of brothers on deck now. They're Ted and Tom Lagarde. So, boys, you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to Your Bet Your Life. Say the sacred word and divide an extra $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Ted and Tom Lagarde, quadruplets, huh?
Twins.
I thought so because you're both wearing the same kind of neckties. Where are you boys from?
Well, we're from Mackay, North Queensland, Australia.
Is that the real McCoy?
A lot of people call it Mackay, and a lot of people call it Mackay. It's stunning.
Well, you said the sacred word. You said the sacred word, people, so you and your father each get $50. It's 50 for you and 50 for you, Dad. Are you married, Tom?
No, we're single.
No, this is Tom, isn't it?
I'm Tom.
Oh, you're Tom. Well, are you married?
No, we're not married.
You're not married?
No, we're both single.
Why?
If we meet...
A couple of twin girls that we like,
A couple of twins? You mean you want four?
No. twin girls. If we meet twin girls, we'll get married.
You would? Well, wouldn't it be confusing for twins to marry twins? You'd never know whether you were kissing your wife or squeezing your sister-in-law. Well, what would you expect from your prospective brides?
Well, we expect them to be able to cook, wash, clean, knit, darn, socks.
Likes to stay home and, you know...
Not to be the boss.
I see. In other words, what you fellas are looking for are unpaid domestics, is that it? Well, kids, you can forget it. You'll never get married. American girls like to cook, wash, and clean, but not the way you want. What they want to do is cook their husband's goose, wash their hands of the kids, and clean out the joint bank account. I want to thank every bachelor in the audience. Even a couple of married men are applauding. What did you do over there in Australia?
Well, we worked on our...
Ted? You're Ted.
Yeah, I'm Ted, yes. Yeah.
Then you must be Tom,
that's
huh?
That's right.
Right, you ask me the question.
Yeah.
No, I'll answer the question.
Yeah, you keep your trap shut. I've changed my mind. I want to ask you the question. What did you do over there? No, I've skipped again. I want to go back to you.
Well, we were born on a farm, and we cut cane until we were 13.
You cut cane until you were 13?
Mm-hmm.
Where was Abel while this was going on?
Sugar cane, just sugar cane.
Oh, sugar cane. Well, I cut school until I was 40, eh?
Well, we left home when we were 15. We went to work on a cattle station.
Like a ranch.
It's like a ranch. We used to drove cattle, round up cattle, dip and earmark and brand and inoculate cattle. It was pretty rough.
Pretty rough life. Job.
They used to wake us up with the kookaburras. Kookaburras, around about 4 o'clock in the morning.
What's a kookaburra? Is that an alarm clock?
No, it's a bird.
It calls out.
Is this trained to do
this? Tom calls like, he sings out like a kookaburra.
Let's hear. How's a kookaburra go? That wouldn't get me out of bed. That would get me under the bed. Well, why did you do this?
Well, we thought it was like the movies.
You thought working on a cattle ranch would be like the movies?
We were 10 years old, Roger, before we saw our first picture. Mom drove us into town. We used to live way out in the bush, 13 miles, and she drove us into town in this old sulky. It's a kind of a buggy. And we saw a picture. It was a cowboy picture. And so we thought, well, that's what it would be like. But it was pretty tough.
It was rough. We only used to get three.
How much did you get?
3 quid a week.
How much?
3?
4. We used to get £4. 4 quid a week.
3 quid a week
we used to get.
We used to get 3 quid a week.
Thank you.
Our tucker.
You got your tucker?
Yeah.
I didn't know Sophie was in Australia. What did you do after that, Tom?
Tucker's...
He got Sophie Tucker, and you got 4 quid, and you got Tucker.
We went to Bubba Wubba.
You went to where?
Bubba Wubba.
Well, cut out the baby talk. Now, let's say you're grown-up men.
Bubba Wubba, and we competed in a rodeo. It was our first rodeo event experience. We broke our wrists and busted our knees. We had a real rough time, but at least we got our Tucker and our expenses, bakshi.
Uh-huh. Bakshi, what's that? Is there anything like a quid?
No, it's free. Bakshi means free.
Oh, gratis, huh? What are your plans now? What would you like to do?
We'd like to get in the movies.
In the movies.
In the movies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the second show at the Pantages starts at 9:50. Well, let's see if you're qualified to be movie cowboys. Can you ride?
Yeah, we can ride.
Good?
Yeah, yeah, fairly good.
Can you rope?
Not real good, but we can do a bit.
Can you bulldog a steer?
Sure. Yeah.
Can you steer a bulldog?
No, beg your pardon.
Well, if you can do all these things, you don't belong in Western movies. You belong on a TV panel show. No, it was nice having you up here, and you're real talented, and I wish you lots of success, and I'm sure you're going to have it.
Thanks.
Now, let's see how well you can do in the quiz, and let's hope you do well. You selected professions of famous people. If I'll ask you some questions, if you miss two in a row, you're out. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. Remember, before you answer, talk it over with your brother. Eh?
Righty.
Yeah, give me the profession of Chester W. Nimitz. N-I-M-I-T-Z.
Nimitz. You heard of Nimitz? You never heard of the guy in the life before.
Is he American?
Groucho?
Yeah.
He's American.
So that's his fame, huh?
Well, let's take a guess at Nimitz. He's anything to do with science?
He was the admiral of the Pacific Fleet. He was the head of the whole Pacific Fleet.
Well, unfortunately, you didn't know that, so you have one wrong.
Righty.
If you don't know Nimitz, I'm afraid to ask you the next one. All right, who was George Arliss?
George Arliss.
What was his profession?
He was a...
A-R-L-I-S-S.
George Arliss. Wasn't he in... He was a show business.
Show business.
Yes, that's right.
You're on the right track now. You have one right. Get three more right, and you'll have $1,000.
You fellas make me nervous. What was Sir Arthur Sullivan's profession?
Sir Arthur Sullivan.
Oh, why did you pick this?
All the categories were so we complicated.
Oh, this is very simple, apparently. Yeah?
It's too late.
In the Parliament. He's a parliamentarian.
Oh, Gilbert and Sullivan, the composer.
Oh.
What was Jan Paderewski's profession?
Jan Paderewski. He was a great composer.
Yeah, you're right.
You have one right now.
I'll find something on here.
Okay.
Who was Les Darcy?
Les Darcy's a great fighter.
Fighter.
From where?
From Australia.
That's right.
Australia.
You have two right now. Only two more to go.
Name the capital of Australia.
Canberra.
It's not on here. I just made that up. Les Darcy isn't on here either. All right. In what field is the name Frank Lloyd Wright famous?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Writer?
No. Don't say they're a writer.
Probably the world's most famous architect.
Oh, right, dear.
Well. Now we're back to one wrong again.
I think I'll go back to what was the capital of Australia?
Canberra. You have one wrong. Don't get this one wrong.
What did Vincent Van Gogh do? Van Gogh. G-O-G-H.
In science?
I don't know what he did in science, but that wasn't his profession.
What was?
He's a famous painter. Don't you remember he cut off one of his ears so he could see better?
I'm sorry,
Miss Turner-Rowe. We certainly gave you many opportunities here.
Sure, we appreciate it.
We don't want you to go away broke. You won $100, haven't you?
Sure.
Already.
Well, here's a chance to win another $100. Are you ready? No help in the audience, because this is a tough one. From what large animal do we get whalebone?
What?
Canberra is right. Huh?
We'll find out if our first couple will try for $10,000 in just a moment.
In centuries past, this was the sound that used to get the news around. Yes, in centuries past, the people on one side of the hill beat the drum to share the news of the world with the people on the other side of the hill. And since the world in those days was a smaller, more easygoing world, this was enough to get the news around. Ours is a chaotic age with critical events flashing across the face of the earth. Fortunately for us, we can keep up with these events because we have at our fingertips the fastest means of communication ever devised. We have radio. And NBC Radio with news on the hour keeps you alerted to world events wherever they happen, as soon as they happen. From ages primitive to present, people have wanted to keep up with events. In our day and age, this is the sound that really gets the news around. This is Leon Pearson inviting you to keep up with the news on the hour all day, every day, over most of these NBC stations.
All right, George, we're ready to see who wants to get a crack at all this money. Will you bring out the first couple?
All right, Groucho, Viva Smith and David Ewan. Would you come back, please?
You won $1,000 so far. If you decide to try for the 10 and you fail, you wind up with a total of 500. What are you going to do?
I'll try for it.
You, what about you?
Well, Groucho, I'll just keep the fight.
Well, that's your privilege. You're not going ahead. That's your privilege. Congratulations on winning the $500. Now take a seat over there
Thank
and
you.
Watch the fireworks.
Thank you.
You're ready to go to try for the big question?
Yes, I'd like to try.
Think of a number between 1 and 10.
7.
7. Give the wheel a twist. Your number was 7. It landed on 3, so this question is worth $1,000. I'm sure you're aware that Columbus sailed in 1492 and discovered the New World. But for $1,000, tell me the name of the Spanish port from which he sailed on his historic voyage. Take a guess.
Well, I know that this city is not in Spain, but I always thought he sailed from Lisbon.
No, it's Palos. P-A-L-O-S. Palos, Spain. Sorry you missed it, but you wind up with $250.
Thank
Congratulations,
you.
And thanks for being with us.
You Bet Your Life is transcribed in Hollywood. Produced by John Goodell. Directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jack Meekin. This is George Fenneman reminding you to tune in again next week, same time, same station, to hear the one, the only Groucho. And see Groucho every Thursday evening on NBC television. You Bet Your Life is heard by our armed forces around the world.
You Bet Your Life on Tuned to Yesterday from the 10th of February, 1958 on NBC. And that closes this hour of quiz shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be with us again for more programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.